This happened 9 years ago. I had just ended a 4-year relationship and had moved into an old building in downtown Paris. I had to start all over again from scratch. Well, I did the mistake to let my ex-girlfriend keep a lot of my furniture, kitchen cutlery, pans, coffee machine, etc. At the time, I had worked as a waiter, so I could only afford a 1-room apartment from a council estate building. It was really old and barely even clean, but at least I had a roof over my head. The first 2 weeks, nothing had happened, but quickly, I began to hear someone talking at night. It was kind of like mumblings. It basically said, "Just go and die already." When I looked into the door, Judah, I saw a scrawny shirtless guy smiling and scratching the door with his finger. This became a thing every 2 or 3 nights. He would come and threaten me through the door, or sing songs with a really childish voice. I thought about opening the door and asking him what he wanted, but I was afraid that he had a knife or something, and I couldn't see his hands while looking into the door, Judah. What really stunned me is that he acted totally normal whenever I stumbled upon him during the day, and he actually denied being the one to do this at night. I even got mad at him for it, but he seemed to genuinely not understand what the hell I was talking about. One day I came home with a girl that I'd met at a bar that I was working at. For some reason, she had left during the night, and I went back to sleep. The mumbling started again, only this time, it felt really close. I opened my eyes, only to witness the scrawny neighbor now headbutting the wall and singing what sounded like a mix between religious chants and also a lullaby in slow motion. I was honestly totally paralyzed by the fear. I tried to communicate with him, but he was just grinning, and he ended up exiting the apartment by himself. I decided I had enough, and finally decided to call the police. They took him in alright, and he ended up getting put into a psych ward. Apparently this guy had been diagnosed with schizophrenia, and he was put in a psychiatric hospital because of it. He wasn't supposed to live at his place anymore. He had apparently ran away from the hospital 2 months ago. He initially got sent into the psych ward after bashing a shovel into a postman's head, putting him into a coma. He did that for absolutely no reason at all. I never saw him again, and I moved out 2 years after that. I'm a 25-year-old female, and I had just bought my first home in December of 2019 in West Michigan. The neighborhood seemed quiet and safe, which I was pleased with, being that I live alone with only my dog to keep me company. Having a degree in social work and recently interning at the county jail has made me a bit jaded when it comes to local crime and the overall darker side of civilization. I've met quite a few of the surrounding neighbors, many of which are on the older side, and they all seem pleasant. But of course, there's always that one loopy neighbor that has to ruin it. About a month after I moved in there, there was a knock at my door. I answered, and there was a man around his late 50s to early 60s waiting there. As I opened the door, he introduced himself. We'll call him John. John had a beard and was a little on the hefty side, and smelled of cigarettes. But overall, looked like a pretty normal dude for his age. He told me he lived a few doors down and he had welcomed me to the neighborhood and said that he's a good handyman. So if I ever needed anything, I could let him know. I thanked him and I thought it was nice to know that I had someone I could go to help for if there was an emergency. He asked if I lived with anyone and I said no, that it was just me. It struck me as slightly odd that he would ask, but I figured I was just being paranoid. As the conversation ended, John said, "You know, you're a really beautiful girl." "Yeah, very pretty." And he smiled at me. I smiled back and thanked him, although shivers had ran down my spine. After he left, I thought about his comment for a while. Had he been a decade or two older, it may have come off as more of a cute thing than an elderly man might say to a younger woman, but the way he said it struck me as quite odd. As the months passed, we casually waved to each other as neighbors normally do, but I didn't directly speak to him again until just a few weeks ago, almost 1 year after our first conversation. I was raking leaves in the front yard, and I had my dog tied up to a tree so they could lay outside in the sun and watch me. My dog, whose name is Newton, is a mid-sized mixed breed of what I believe to be a border collie and some type of shepherd. I got him from a local shelter when he was just a pup. He's a real cutie, and he's very gentle and calm around me, but he can be quite protective, and he isn't always the fondest of males that he isn't familiar with. While I was raking the leaves, John comes over on his riding mower and starts to mow the unfinished side of my lawn. I was a little annoyed because I was right in the midst of learning how to take care of fall leaves for the first time, but I didn't let this show and just continued finishing up my patch. After he finished, he had hopped off the mower and he walked over to me and Newton. Newton's tail was wagging, but it was apparent that he was also a bit on edge. John and I spoke for a moment and I thanked him. Then John turns to Newton and he puts his hand out. Newton sniffs his hand and he begins to growl a bit. As I'm attempting to hush him, John proceeds to swat at his face in a playful gesture. Not a smart move to pretend to smack a dog who's visibly unsure of you. Newton then breaks out in an episode of nervous barking. Embarrassed and not wanting to annoy the other neighbors, I try and console Newton. Then to my surprise, this grown adult man gets down on his hands and knees in a child's pose position right in front of Newton, and actually begins to whimper like a dog. I stared in disbelief, praying that no one else was watching this horribly awkward moment taking place. My eyes quickly dart to each surrounding house looking for witnesses, and then stop on a woman that's watching us intently from John's side of the fence. John eventually gets up from the grass, and he told me about his own dogs, and that he also lives with his ex-wife in her basement. He went into all kinds of details about their marriage and how it didn't work out because he liked to party, and she was more of a homebody. I assumed that his ex-wife was the woman who had been watching us interact from their yard. Before he left, though, he had told me that he was moving out in the spring, but that he would be around in the upcoming winter to snowblow my driveway if I'd like, for $50 each time. I told him that I'd let him know, although I thought to myself that $50 was a bit steep for such a small driveway. After this conversation, I saw him once again last week when I brought my trash out. I saw him out of the corner of my eye waving to me from his driveway, but ignored him, not wanting to invite him into conversation as I was leaving for work soon. While walking back to my garage, I had heard him yell,
"Hey there!"
So I had no choice but to turn and give him a quick wave and nod. Aside from the whole whimpering like a sad puppy thing, he just generally gave me the creeps. And earlier today, my impression of him being an outright weirdo was reinforced. I was walking Newton around the block in the late afternoon. I started to shovel quickly when I came across John's house, hoping he wouldn't be outside, but of course he was, as he always coincidentally seems to be outside when I am. He yelled hello to me as he very swiftly walked out from his garage, and I very reluctantly paused by his mailbox and greeted him.
"I broke my wrist," he sputtered out.
I looked to see his right wrist was in a cast.
"Oh no, how did that happen?"
I asked.
"I don't know,"
John said. I wondered how a person could totally be unaware of how they broke a bone.
"I guess I'm just old. I'm probably about the same age as your dad, right?"
John asked.
"Yeah, probably pretty close," I replied.
He then did his usual thing where he talks about things that I couldn't possibly care less about. Like about his new glasses, and how he was also in the military, so he was able to get free gear from the VFW. He stuck out his hand to Newton again, and I had to remind him that Newton wasn't really fond of men that he didn't know that well. He offered to get Newton a bone, but I shrugged off the idea, not really wanting to prolong our conversation.
"You know, we're supposed to get some snow over the weekend,"
John said.
"Yeah, I heard about 6 inches.
I replied shortly. I really loathe small talk, and I'm really horrible at faking interest in topics like the weather.
"Yeah, well, I'll snowblow your driveway for you if you want. I do Margie's driveway there in that brown house,"
John then says as he points across the street.
"Oh yeah? You said it'll be around $50, right?"
I asked.
You know, I misspoke the last time we talked about it. We could work something out. Maybe $25, or whatever you can pay. I know times are tough because of the pandemic and whatnot. Or instead, you know, we could fool around or something."
John stammered. I was a bit quiet for a moment, just trying to process his proposition, and I thought that there was no way I heard him correctly.
or that he meant that in a sexual manner. I'll let you know, I guess, I said nervously.
So, do you have a boyfriend?
John asked. No, I answered. I immediately kicked myself mentally for not telling him yes. I'm a horrible liar, though. It doesn't come to me naturally, which can really suck in these types of situations where it could be useful.
Well, do you want one?
John asked further.
Not really,
I replied, laughing out of discomfort.
Hey, by the way, thanks for waving at me the other day. That was nice of you. I was trying to get your attention, and I didn't think you saw me,
John said.
Yeah, no problem, I said, wondering why a wave meant so much to him.
John began to speak about something else, and to be honest, I don't really remember what he said, because I was so wrapped up in trying to figure out his motive behind his last few comments. I ended up telling him to have a nice day, and started to walk away.
So yeah, just let me know about the snow blowing. If you can't pay me with cash, we can just fool around, and I would count that as even,
he said from behind me, confirming his intentions.
Yeah, I don't know about that,
I said sarcastically, not turning in his direction as I continued back home.
Oh, okay. Well, no big deal,
John said in a weirdly friendly manner. I didn't respond, and the rest of the walk home, I became pissed. Pissed that I didn't tell him I had a boyfriend, or tell him to stay the hell away from me. Pissed at how he was so nonchalant and direct, and assuming that there was even a sliver of chance that I would be down to basically prostitute myself for what? A 40-minute shovel job? Pissed that I now feel uncomfortable inside and outside of my first home that I've worked so hard for. Pissed that so many young women, as well as men, are put in similar situations. Or far, far worse. I'm sure there will be more to this story, seeing as I think he's going to try and clear my driveway this weekend without me even asking for his help. But for now, I'm just going to go to sleep with a knife right next to my bed. I'm also going to invest in some blinds for my bedroom, which faces direction, and I really hope he'll still be moving away in the spring, like he said he was. My parents were born in 1952. Their first child, my sister Janie, was born early in 1958. The story takes place at the very beginning of 1959. Now, my father was away on business and I wouldn't be born until very late in 1960. So my mother and my infant sister are home at the time, and they're both having really bad bouts of the flu. My mom decides to call her mother to come and help her. Now it's in the middle of the night. My mom, dad, and sister lived in New York City, Manhattan. Grandma lived in Queens and Flushing. So my mom calls her mom and she asks her to get a cab and come into the city. Grandma says sure, okay. So enough time goes by for grandma to arrive. My mom then hears a weird scratching sound on her front door. She's a little spooked and she says, Mom, is that you? If that's you, why don't you ring the doorbell? There was no response other than more scratching. Now my mom is really spooked, but asks once more. Mom, is that you? Whoever it is, if I don't get an answer right now, I'm calling the police. And then just more scratching at the door. So as you can imagine, my mom picks up the telephone and then dials, I guess in the late 1950s, just the operator, since there was no 911 yet. Hello, my name's Miss O'Donnell. Someone's scratching at my front door, and they're not answering when I ask them to identify themselves. The operator then says they'll send a car over. The cops arrive fast. They find outside the door a very old man in his pajamas, barefoot too. He was a neighbor, and he lived on another floor with two of his daughters. He had some kind of senility or Alzheimer's, and had gotten out somehow. And his only crime was trying to find his way home. It's honestly kind of sad when you think about it. He was really, really lucky that he had picked my mom's door to try and get into. Any other apartment, and no one would have heard him. And he would have gone outside in bare feet. And it was like single digits outside at the time. Midwinter, and like 3 o'clock in the morning. His daughters came down the next day and had thanked my mom for saving him, and apologized profusely for their dad disturbing her.
My next door neighbor was the best you could dream of. She worked nights, and when she was off, rarely made a peep. Her little dog was a concern early on, but I would soon discover it was as quiet as its owner. I'd been at the complex for a year when she told me she found a boyfriend and things were going well. After that, I saw her even less than before and was more than happy to sign another 12-month lease. Things proved to be too good to be true, however. Barely a month into my second year, things began to change drastically next door. Loud arguments were often heard through the walls, and the dog reacted to these as badly as I did. The poor little guy barked his head off while she and the new love of her life screamed at each other repeatedly. I did attempt to ignore the racket for a couple of weeks, but would finally lose my mind and began banging on the wall. I was shocked that it worked, but only the first time. All the others after were ignored. This garbage went on for over 3 months, and after several visits from the cops, she showed up at my door to apologize. She claimed things were going well, just as she had told me prior, but after he moved in, his behavior changed. After that, it seemed all they would do is fight. He had hit her during one, and she foolishly forgave him. He'd sworn it would never happen again, but it did, and she kicked him out. Her hope was that he'd move on to someone else. However, he soon appeared at her door out of the blue, begging her to take him back. The cops were called, and she filed a restraining order. That was almost a month ago, and she hoped he was gone for good. From what I could see and hear, things had gone back to the way they had been originally. I went back to living a peaceful life, and I assumed so had she. Considering we had opposite schedules, it wasn't strange for us to go weeks without seeing or hearing one another, and I was happy for it to stay that way. Then something terrifying would happen one day as I returned from work. I pulled into the complex and turned to enter my section of the lot and was blocked by several cop cars and ambulances. It was a surprising thing to see, but none of my business, I suppose. I found another spot to park and headed for my apartment. As I neared my place, I noticed my neighbor's door was wide open and cops were going in and out. After what she'd told me, I assumed her ex had showed up uninvited. Upon approaching our building, another officer stopped me and informed me the area was closed. I let him know I lived in the building and asked what had happened. He couldn't tell me, but if I waited for a detective to come out, he'd probably have some questions for me. The cop said something over his radio, and a minute later, a guy in a suit came out of the apartment and took me aside. He only had a few questions, if I'd seen anything and the like. As the seconds passed, I got increasingly nervous and begged him to tell me what was going on. He paused and said in a very serious voice that my neighbor had been found dead in her apartment earlier that day. My eyes had to have looked like saucers to him. I was completely shocked and wondered how I hadn't noticed something so major. Before he could ask the question, I blurted out her ex's name. They were familiar with him, and I could tell from his demeanor he was their main suspect. He handed me his card and let me go. I turned to walk away, but stopped a few steps later. "What's going to happen to her dog?" The detective hesitated, and a sad look popped up on his face. "The assailant appears to have killed him, too. I'm sorry." I'm not sure why this angered me so much. Struck me as needless, I guess. The cops probably thought I was crazy, mumbling cuss words under my breath as I walked away. The following morning, I was browsing through the local paper online and came across a story about the murder. It explained that my neighbor was a week late on her rent and received a notice. When no reply came after 2 days, the manager visited the apartment personally. There was no answer, even after she knocked, so she let herself in and found the body. The detective was quoted as saying that they had yet to find her ex, and they believed that he had fled back to his original home in Lebanon. Not much information has come out since then. The ex-boyfriend is still unlocated, and no other suspects exist at this time. I've moved on to a different apartment complex now, but for the remainder of my time in that one, things went back to business as usual. 2 months before my lease was up, new tenants moved in. This was a young couple with a 5-year-old boy. The noise coming from them was endless, and I was overjoyed when the time came for me to move. The place I'm now in is majority older couples and the noise level is almost non-existent. As nice as things are at present, I don't believe I'll ever have a neighbor as good as her. Anytime I hear a bang on my ceiling or loud talking through the walls, I think back on her and how great of a woman and neighbor she was.
This is less of a creepy one-person encounter, and more of a whole community creeped out by one man. The neighbor in question is somewhat famous for his lawn, an impossibly thick green landscape that he had tended by a company. I'm vaguely aware of him losing it on the landscapers, screaming at them outside. Enough I knew he had a temper. The first real red flag that he might be legit crazy came last summer. He asked a teenage boy in the neighborhood to check in on the house once a day and make sure all the doors and windows were secured and water their flowers. The day they left, though, he left a crazy list, saying the kid had to be there multiple times a day, turning off and on different sets of lights at specific times, and leaving weird chores for him. Also, the kid was not allowed to walk on the lawn, and he had to remove his dirty shoes before walking on the concrete sidewalk. He was never to enter the house, but was to turn off and on the lights from the doorway by means of a stick with a loop on it. Also, he was not allowed to use the garden hose to water the lawn, and had to instead use a teeny tiny watering can. The letter implied that my neighbor would have the kid under surveillance and would have pictures if he failed to comply. Basically, the kid's parents called him and said they weren't comfortable with the situation anymore, and while they would keep an eye on the house, the deal was off. They argued over the phone. When my neighbor got back from vacation, it was early morning, and he immediately went to their house, woke them, and tried to pick a fight with them. One of the other neighbors is a retired colonel and came out to see what was going on and tried to settle the issue. Crazy neighbors said that he would let it rest if he was allowed to bare-ass spank the kid. He flipped out when they told him hell no. Sometime after this, another neighbor was at the grocery store when he was concerned by Crazy Neighbor. Crazy Neighbor apparently just talked at him in rapid fire for a half hour. Among other things, he started saying how wives shouldn't have friends, and said that his wife's sister was so fat she broke the toilet seat last time she visited. After this, everyone started talking about how you don't see his wife anywhere. Occasionally she will be out watering flowers, but while her husband is seen out, she isn't. Considering that she used to be a social butterfly, this is weird. During the winter, everyone found pamphlets on their mailbox from the landscaper he uses, along with a note saying it was mandatory to now use this landscaper in our area, and failure to comply will result in being sued. We are private, single-family homes with no homeowners association, so this is patently untrue. During the winter, someone saw his wife and her arm was in a sling and she had a black eye. When they went to ask her about it, he wouldn't let her speak and said she had slid on ice. Since then, there have been a few attempts made to talk to her alone, and all have failed. They've gone so far as to get their church involved and to call a welfare check by the cops when he was out of the house. But if she is being abused, she has been refusing help. Snow was bad this year, and he blew a fit about the snowplows piling snow on his property. So he scattered screws on the roadway outside before they came one morning. Then someone in the neighborhood got a puppy. It's quiet and has a fenced-in backyard. Its owners wake up in the middle of the night to the doorbell ringing. When they come out, Crazy Neighbor is standing on the road at the edge of the property. He tells them that the first time the dog gets out, they won't have a dog anymore, and he pulls out a gun and waves it around, before pointing it towards the backyard and saying, "Bang." Obviously, they go back inside and call the cops. When confronted, crazy neighbor claims he was out for a walk, thought they were awake and stopped by. He says he didn't get the gun out, but it had been on his belt, and that he didn't mean his statement as a threat. He ended up getting some sort of citation from the police. Come spring, he is taken to sitting outside and writing something every time someone walks or drives by. We don't know what, but I have taken to driving differently home to avoid going by him. Most recently, someone put up a swing set in their backyard. They came back from work to find tire tracks through the backyard and the swing set run over and crushed. No one saw anything, but his massive truck happens to have the same kind of tires as the tread arcs left behind. The retired colonel has taken to compiling statements from everyone and keeping records, because we think this is going to end badly.
When I was 30 years old, I had saved enough money to buy my first house. It wasn't anything special, and honestly, all things considered, it wasn't in the best neighborhood either. But I was still proud of the accomplishment nonetheless. I'd met all the nearby neighbors in, I'd say, the first 2 weeks I moved in. Considering the neighborhood, I was surprised to discover they all actually seemed pretty nice. A couple of them even invited me over for dinner a few times. And having lived in different apartments all my life, this wasn't really something I was used to. Of course, they weren't all like this, however. Two houses down from the house I moved into lived a man that was probably 50 years old. Upon moving in, every other night or so, the dude would knock at my front door at some absurd hour asking for stuff. So, like, as an example, the first time it happened, he asked me if I had any spare bread I wasn't gonna eat. Another time, he asked me if I could fill up a bucket with water, because his was turned off. It was just random, but somewhat understandable things like that. But I drew the line when he started asking me for money. I figured I had no obligation to be constantly meeting this guy's needs. I mean, I had pretty much just met the dude. I had started opening the door to his knocks less and less, but this didn't seem to have any effect on the number of times he would show up. Fast forward to a night a few weeks later, and again another knock. I had planned to ignore it, like I had grown accustomed to doing by that point. But as I looked through the peephole, I noticed the guy looked distressed. Seeing this, I decided the right thing to do would be to open up the door. So, I did. I asked him what he needed, and what he responded with was not at all the type of response I was expecting. He asked me if I could come over and show him how to use his new grill. Now, this happened around midnight, which in my opinion was an extremely odd time to start grilling. But against my better judgment, I decided I would help him. I was pretty into cooking at that point in my life, and figured taking 10 minutes to show the guy how a grill worked wouldn't be the end of the world. I told him that I'd be over in a second, and that I just needed to put some shoes on. He thanked me and started walking back. A couple minutes later, and I made my way over to his house. I opened some gate and walked into his backyard. It was dark, so it was hard to see, but it was clear there was no grill. On top of that, the guy was nowhere in sight. Although his back door was wide open, I stuck my hand inside and yelled out for the guy.
"Yeah, I'm down here. I need your help getting some meat from the freezer."
The muffled response came from down a set of stairs just to the left of me. I was hesitant to go down. There were no lights on down there. In fact, there wasn't a single light on throughout the whole house. I yelled down the stairs, asking him if he could turn on a light so I could see. There was silence for a few seconds. Eventually, he responded.
"No, they're broken. I can't do that."
I knew something was off at that point. I yelled back something like,
"I think I'm just gonna go, man."
I kid you not, the second after I said this, audible footsteps started sprinting up the stairs. My flight reaction kicked in immediately. I ran directly back to my house and locked the door behind me. I pulled back a set of curtains and looked out one of my windows, but I didn't see anything. I was terrified. I thought about calling the police, but decided against it, figuring I really wouldn't be able to prove anything that just happened. For the next few days, I didn't leave my house for anything except work. During those days, I never saw the guy, nor did any late-night knocks occur. Exactly 1 week after it happened, I was talking with my neighbor across the street. The conversation eventually landed on what I experienced, and how I was planning to move because of it. But I was just met with a look of confusion. I was then informed that no one lived in the house I was talking about. It had been abandoned for 2 years. This prompted my neighbor to call the police. However, the police would find nothing inside or around the house. I moved out a few weeks later, so that's all I know. I'm not sure if anything else came from the situation or not. I still don't know who that guy was, or what he was trying to lure me into.